In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text is our Old Testament reading from Isaiah, the 43rd chapter. Brothers and sisters in Christ, have you ever felt worthless, insignificant, incapable, unlovable? Shrink down in your chair, bury your head in your hands, unworthy of the time of day, kind of worthless. It's easy to feel and to see yourself as worthless, isn't it? You lose your job. You search and search your search to find another one, but it seems like no one wants to hire you. You have nothing to offer. Worthless. You go on date after date and you never really find the one. Or you ask and ask people to go on a date, but no one ever really seems to say yes. Worthless. You lose your spouse. You go through a messy separation or divorce. You feel like you have nothing to offer the opposite sex. You have no one to share your life with. Worthless. You're diagnosed with a debilitating illness. Cancer, dementia, AIDS, Parkinson's, multiple sclerosis. Or you simply just, through old age, get rendered incapable of doing the same things you're normally used to doing. Mowing the lawn. Shoveling snow. Working in your shop or garage, driving, reading, feeding yourself, or just going to the bathroom alone, talking, walking, or just even seeing clearly. You feel incapable. What's more, you feel worthless. You hear those dreadful words ringing in your mind and out of your loved one's mouth saying, "I'm extremely disappointed in you." And you mentally kick yourself, saying, "Why? Why did I do that? I know better. It was a stupid thing to do. If you could just take it all back, if you could just change that one moment, that one sin, that one thought or action of weakness, that one time that you lost your virginity, that one day that you lost your temper, that one day where you took the Lord's name in vain just to save your own skin, and you got caught. That moment of pride and arrogance where I should have just bit my tongue and said nothing. But you can't. You can't take it back. And you don't want the whole world to know what a failure you are. You're not the student. You're not the citizen. You're not the employer. You're not the employee. You're not the friend. You're not the husband. You're not the wife. You're not the parent, the grandparent, the brother, the sister, the child, the man, or the woman you know you should be. You're not even the one you know you could be. You don't want everyone to know that you failed God, that you failed others, and you even failed your own expectations. You feel worthless, insignificant, incapable, unlovable. Shrink down in your chair, bury your head in your hands, unworthy of the time of day, kind of worthless. I, a poor, miserable sinner, kind of worthless. This is the southern kingdom of Judah's reality at the start of the Old Testament reading for this morning. They are nothing. They are worthless. Even though the Lord led them through their 40-year wandering in the wilderness into the promised land, and even though they swore an oath saying, "All that I have, all that you command me to do, we will do," they failed. Time and time again, both the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom have turned their backs on God. They have built and they have worshipped golden calves. They have burned some of their firstborn children alive on the altars of Molech and Shemesh. They have even participated in the temple prostitution as a form of worship for Baal and Asherah. And despite all of God's warning cries to them through the mouths of their prophets, Israel and Judah have reveled in their idolatry. Hence, in chapters 41 and 2, Isaiah refers to them as a worm. And a blind, deaf, disobedient servant. And now it is 586 BC. And for their idolatrous sins, the southern kingdom of Israel, the southern kingdom is suffering the same fiery judgment of God at the hands of the Babylonians that the northern kingdom suffered in 722 BC at the hands of the Assyrians. Exile, chains, bondage, forced marched away from Jerusalem, burning, destruction, plundering, guilt, shame, defeated sobs in foreign lands of Babylon as they walk through the fire of God, the judgment of God. fury while enslaved to Babylon, receiving the just wages of generations of unrighteousness and unbelief. And to Babylon, the Judean exiles are nothing but cogs, little wheels in their machine of the economy, tools in their hands. They don't have value other than that. They are worthless. The southern kingdom of Judah is insignificant and incapable and unlovable. And shrink down in your chair, bury your head in your hands, unworthy of the time of day. I, a poor, miserable sinner, kind of worthless. Yet it is to these worthless sinners, to Judah, to you and to me, that God speaks. Today, God speaks a blazing word of hope and comfort through the mouth of his prophet Isaiah. Notice how in the Old Testament reading it begins. It begins with a radical shift of identity. You may very well feel and see yourself as worthless. You have been a bunch of worthless sinners. But now, thus says the Lord, you are valuable. You are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. Valuable? Precious in the eyes of God? Honored and loved? What did Judah do to deserve this radical shift of identity? Nothing. In and of themselves, they are worthless. But there are two things that make Judah of infinite worth. The first is a matter of who owns them. But now, thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. The good news is that despite how Judah feels or how they see themselves, despite their sins of the past, God has graciously, of his own free accord, called them by name on the plains of Haran, at Bethel, at the foot of Mount Sinai, and now, today, in Babylon. Even in exile, Judah does not belong to Babylon or Assyria or Egypt. And they don't belong to their sin. They belong to God. They are his treasured possession. And what's more, Judah's value is determined by the price that God willingly pays for them. In Isaiah 43, verse 4, God says, I will give men in return for you, peoples in exchange for your life. And so he did. When God led Israel out of Egypt, he paid for them with some of the lives of the Egyptians. When God led Judah out of Babylon, he paid for them with some of the lives of the Babylonians. But the greatest payment that God would make for his people, for Israel, for Judah, for you, and for me, was when he sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And there, at his baptism in the Jordan River, Jesus took your sin upon himself as he took mine. He who knew no sin became sin for us, so that on a hill outside of Jerusalem, the Father might give his only begotten Son as a ransom for you, that Jesus might willingly and freely and graciously give his life unto death, love you unto death, even death on a cross. He paid for our sins in full, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood, his innocent suffering, and his bitter death. And so you are free. It is finished. Jesus has done it all, and all that he did was for you. Your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. There is no condemnation, no fiery judgment of God for you who are in Christ Jesus. Do you see what kind of love the Father has lavished upon us that we should be called the children of God? And so you and I are. In Christ, We are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you who have been baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. You were buried and raised with Jesus in baptism. You don't belong to sin, and you don't belong to death, and you do not belong to the devil. They have no power over you. You belong to God. In baptism, He who created you, O people of God, is He who formed you, is He who numbered the hairs on your head, is He who marked you with His cross and covered you with His robe of righteousness, saying to you, you are mine, and I have called you by name. Don't you see, dear saints of the living God, the good news of the gospel is that it does not matter if you feel worthless. It doesn't matter if the world calls you worthless. It doesn't matter what accusation the devil throws at you or your life circumstances or the turbulent waters and the fiery trials which you endure in this vale of tears and this valley of sorrows. It doesn't matter if in your eyes you seem worthless. Because none of those things define who you really are. Your identity comes from God Himself. He has given it to you. He has told you who you are. To Him, you are precious in my eyes, says the Lord, and honored, and I love you, now and forever. Amen.